The following was part of an after-show discussion that Chus, Yet, and myself had. We thought this was interesting enough to bring it as a second episode around design and ethics for this podcast. So here it is. The question is, do you think that this, by presenting this as an ethics toolkit for designers, you marginalize what this can do for companies? Because it feels like by going out and trying to sell it to companies or present it to companies from a design perspective, when most designers, or how companies think of designers as people who draw boxes, rectangles, you know, arrows, is that hurting the potential impact that you can have from a business point of view, which I think it's quite large.
I've been hearing this more often, actually. So that's also a question to me, like, is that the best strategy to point it at designers? But as I mentioned, I think it's a first step. So I think that designers are the most perceptive to this subject and would be able to actually engage with it and get it on the table. And then hopefully if that works, we can move on towards getting it on a bigger scale and towards larger companies in different departments, maybe.
I think what the trouble is with designers is that we're coming sort of Katamari Ball. I don't know if you guys know that game,
yeah,
but it's
that?
Like this it's a PlayStation game, but you're basically this ball
and you roll
over things and everything sticks to you. I have the feeling that design is becoming this, right? Because designers are the ones who started to prototype, and then designers are the ones who went a little bit deeper into code and bring other things into it, and then designers are the ones doing ethics, and now we're doing video, and then we're doing audio design. And I'm just worried that if we don't make it something specific, but if it's just something extra to take on, it will not gather the strength that it needs to. So that's why I think...
Well, to me, it's the problem that you're putting designer behind it, right? There needs to be some sort of job description that is not designer, that is ethics.
It's called philosopher, but nobody wants to hire one.
Philosophy in action, right? I mean, that's you know, philosophizement,
yeah,
or something. philosopher has too many connotations of sitting around talking too much. But I do feel the conversations that we had with, you know, Facebook and some of these other situations, that this is almost could be a discipline under head of product that is not a designer, because it is not somebody that understands, you know, how to use Sketch or how to use Illustrator or Photoshop. It is somebody who understands legal requirements, who understands communication requirements, who understands brand, and then can bring that in and say, here are the areas or situations that you may have ethical implications, or from a company perspective, ethical obligations for. And that's why I almost feel that, again, it's a disservice to put the word designer on it, because it as you said, it coagulates. That's not the right word. It merges it with something that, you're right, is just going to eventually blow up, because design is everything.
But it dilutes it also, because you're also the person who sketches and the person who comes up with the ideas, and then the annoying person who says why things aren't okay. But what I think is interesting and maybe difficult, but I think it needs to be merged with more of the research side of design.
I like that. I can dig that.
The reason I'm saying that is because when you look at a data protection officer, which is a new role that comes with GDPR, what they have to back their decisions up is the law, and nobody can question them. And that's the shield that they bring in. With ethics, you have no shield, because you're saying that it's good, but you have nothing. Unless you do research into what is the public opinion and what do people like and what makes people feel good. And so you need to have the numbers and the story to back up what you're saying, because otherwise it's an opinion.
No, I think the law actually benefits you here. By understanding the legal boundaries, then you can actually formulate a better what? No, what?
No, ethics and the law is not the same. You don't have the law when you're having an ethical conversation, because the law is
behind that.
It's too far. We've drawn this really nice graph here.
Keep talking while I'm going to formulate a response.
No, the thing is that the law is the hard line where you cannot pass. That's where Gandalf would be. But it's the point that ethics is mostly an opinion until you can back it up with very many other people who have that same opinion, because that's where ethics live. It lives in what people find good and allowable.
I think that for me, this sort of separate function sounds interesting in that sense, or a position where it would be someone with understanding of ethics and being able to formulate these things thoroughly, but also the level of application and maybe just like the speed of someone working in a design process. And this might not have to actually be the designer, but it is someone who understands design and is able to maybe translate these ethical issues or the outcomes from these questions towards design incentives.
Yeah, I do think that designers, as a primary skill, have communication. Wow, that's a good sentence to do that with. Designers' primary skill should be communication. There you go. Because they often have to explain fuzzy ideas to people who don't like fuzzy ideas, who need them to be very clear cut. And I think if you have somebody who is really good at philosophy and ethics, well, they should be good communicators as well. But if they aren't, then the designer is your next backup plan for a person to translate fuzzy things into straight cut things.
Yeah, and from theory to practice. I think that's an important one to stress. So going from a general ethical theory to actual issues within a running design project.
So here's where I'm going to finally come back on this for the comment of law and ethics. I do feel that, you know, a decade ago when people were collecting personal data, it wasn't a problem, right? Like people didn't necessarily have these conversations over, is it ethically okay? It was, no, we're actually helping people. This is what we want to do. And now when you introduce new laws in, you know, Europe in particular, the GDPR one we're talking about, all of a sudden it forces it to be an ethical conversation because the law has changed and we have updated our opinions about it because technology has progressed, legal has progressed, and therefore ethics has progressed. So maybe they're not super related, but I do think that the law can drive and change our view on ethics over time.
Yeah, but I think that the law is inherently different from ethics in the way that they aren't even allowed to be the same because the law is something that is dictated to you how things work. And ethics is something that you will dictate to the world how it works for you.
Okay, good point. And by the way, if any of us sitting here, the three of us were normal designers, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? If this was 15 years ago, we would be having a conversation, Chus, that you said earlier, about how do I draw this wireframe and do I put an X where this image is supposed to be and should I be using lorem ipsum? And now you're just complaining, no, I don't want to see any of that. It should look decent. It should be, right? Everything's
exactly.
Changed.
Yeah.
And to your point of us becoming, what is it? What, kamikaze ball? What's it called?
Katamari.
Yeah, calamari ball. That's right. So design has progressed so much, but to your point, we keep shoving more and more things into this description of designer. And yet, to your point, this should be a discipline, or we were advocating about this sort of previous to the podcast. This probably should be a discipline to itself, right? A person who looks at ethics may come from a design background, and that could be a research, that could be a service design background. It could also be anthropology, ethnography. Chus, to your point, it could be philosophy. Right. But there is a difference in the type of work that you're doing versus somebody that draws wireframes versus the type of work that we do. This is all, you know, separate and interesting in its own ways. And let's not try to mash all of these things together because then nobody will be good at anything.
What I do think is the strength of Yet's point is it needs to be somebody who is already on the table, who they already have decided that needs to be there when things get made, designed, come up with.
Yes.
Because if it's something extra, just like user research, it will get left out because it's too expensive and extraneous and doesn't fit the budget.
Okay, so I think we're good for the bonus side here. So guys, thank you again.
Bye.